Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Ambridge on the Couch, an in-depth look at the Archers with me, Harriet Carmichael, Jeff Thomas, Lucy V. Freeman,
Lucy Free Fourfold.
Free Fall. And the executive projector keeper. Oh my gosh. We haven't even had any wine.
No. This is how good we are without it.
We were having a mic off earlier. Lucy was having a lot of fumbling.
Yes, rattling, clunking noises. It was like
mic.
It was like the witch thing.
It was like you were on the floor, wrapped around in that cord, banging your head on the...
on the skirting board, fighting with it.
But doesn't she sound good as a result? God.
I'm in a muck sweat now, having sorted all that out.
And I did keep saying, get closer, Lucy, get closer. But before we make a start on your emails.
Stella. I mean, Pip and Stella. Yes.
Oh, I could give you a kiss.
Go on then.
let's make a start on your emails or whatever it is.
The monologue first,
Lucy,
and then it's the email.
Lucy, what happened this week at Ambridge?
This week was brought to you by All Creatures Great and Small. Stella's a lapdog, Ben thinks he's a lame duck, Rex has a reindeer, Rosie wanted to be a sheep but is now happy as a spider. All animal life is here. We began the week with Tracy and Bob Cratchit deciding that they couldn't afford to have Christmas, so Jazza decided to win it instead. It's odd, isn't it, that if Eddie Grundy had suggested this 30 years ago, we'd all have shouted, "Oh, Eddie!" along with Clary. But because it's Jazza and Tracy, we're now all nodding along sagely and saying, "Oh, yeah, good thinking, Jazza, yeah." So they'll be having a sumptuous Christmas lunch of 4 monster bags of Skips, a year's supply of hot chocolate and a collapsible wheelbarrow. Jolene has been dumped by Jill, which means she's alienated the last person who could put up with her, except Leonard, who I've now decided is only in it either for the sex or the inheritance. My dearest wish is that Jill will have changed her will and left Brookfield to Leonard, who will turn it into a petting zoo and tea shop, and it will be lovely. Ben had a tutorial with a woman who is played by a tape recorder sat on a desk. Ben pressed play, and off she went, telling him that she was worried about him. In that softly spoken, carey, soothing way all professional people in Borchester have. She was quite slow, though, the lady, which was a bit annoying as I wanted to get to the next scene. Thank goodness, though, that she suggested therapy. The fact that he rejected it is secondary and entirely Archer family style. Is it new? Is it different? Well, I don't like it then. Joy advised Mick to speak to Jolene calmly about switching choirs back to Fallon's, as Jolene is renowned for taking things calmly and being able to put her ego aside. It went as well as could be expected, and he went in trying to leave and emerged with a solo and an enormous sense of obligation. Mick snogged Joy, which was unpleasant, and she said she didn't want anything to dry out, which was even more unpleasant. Then she said she'd always wanted to feel like Natalie Wood, so Mick pushed her off a boat. Oh my God, David is going to cook Christmas dinner. This will be the same hilarious performance, I presume, as we had with Tony. Men being incompetent in the kitchen is so very funny in 2022, isn't it? Why is men cooking still a thing, for crying out loud, even if they are unreconstructed wazzocks in wellies? Ben appeared, Shay Horobin, very clearly going off his chump and in dire need of help, a fact that Jazza handled very badly and Chelsea handled very well. They reversed roles, with Chelsea saying, "I should tell his parents," and Jazza saying, "No." But he will be fixed, hopefully before he gives Bess a shaggy perm and highlights anyway. Ruth announced that she could, Pip announced that she could kiss Stella, but Stella refrained, somewhat put off by the smell of old tights that pervaded Rickyard Kitchen. Stella's poor nephew Bobby is going to be the unimpressed recipient of a worn spider costume, probably with nervous sick down the front. What an auntie, eh? Pip made such a fuss about insisting on making the costume that I thought it was some Protestant work ethic thing. But then when she accepted Stella's offer with alacrity, I realised it was just because she's an archer and didn't want to fork out 20 quid, the tight cow. Tights cow. And in a tribute to Irene Cara from Fame, Jolene in her new role as choir mistress turned into that scary woman who banged a stick on the floor and told them all this was where they all started paying in sweat. Krusty got told to keep her fa-la-las together. Probably needs a new bra. I usually find that keeps mine under control. Well, in the same postcode as each other, at least. Mick, who as far as I know has never spoken to Krusty, decided to confide in her in the pub that he had told Joy he loved her. But after Joy's performance with Ben tonight, we all love her and we all want to marry her. You know, in the beginning when she joined, when I said how annoying she was and I hated her and Harriet said she was fabulous and she loved her. Well, guess who was right? So I guess that cancels yes. out the Tony's Chocolony. The end.
Yes, I was right. I don't remember you hating her.
I did. She drove me mad.
It
was the anxious over-talking that drove me mad, I think.
Yeah. She was supposed to be annoying at the start, though. And don't you worry, Lucy. I've bought your... two Tony's Chocolonies.
Two?
I couldn't decide which flavour to go for. So I've got double the fun for you. Lucy, I just love the Archers at the moment.
It's really good.
It's so good. This is the third week.
I know, when we haven't gone, ugh.
Yeah, I just can't believe, I don't know what's happened to it, but it's just really moving along, funny.
Yep. Brisk.
Natural, brisk.
Trot on.
Apart from the tape recorder lady, who I thought was Lizzie.
Slowed down.
Yeah, because she had a sort of bit of a Lizzie voice with an accent. And I thought, that's unusual. Because they don't usually get the cast to do characters more than one line.
Anyway, unless they're going, hello, David, in the background. And then we all go, who was that?
Exactly. They just get them to do that.
That was Tracy.
Shouting noises. Yeah. That was fine. But it's just been really interesting. And I just think it's really clever now, the way that I feel so... This week I felt awful for slagging Ben off for crying. Because I've basically been acting like I'm a member of his family, going, pull yourself together. You're not the woman. You don't need to cry. You're fine.
Well, I wrote a joke about... Rex going fishing with Ben, and that if Ben started crying again, I'd given Ben Rex permission to push him in the river. And then after this evening, I thought, whoa, I'm not saying that. Poor Ben.
But isn't it clever how actually they've turned what we thought was an abortion story into a male mental health story?
Yep.
And in a very, very sort of doesn't seem to me in an over the top way at all.
Yeah.
So that's all good ticks. Great ticks for Stella this week.
Yes.
She is so good. She actually makes Pip sound funny.
Light and nice and like a human being. Not somebody that's
she's
just
lightened her up.
Going, mum, like Tracy, but middle class. Yeah. Chelsea.
Pip didn't have to overdo it because Stella was just being strong and funny.
Yeah.
And so Pip didn't have to overcompensate for... You know, like...
Although I did think, you know, giving your nephew a second-hand fancy dress costume.
It's really weird.
That is really weird. But it was just an excuse, wasn't it, to buy her the thing?
Well, yeah, but... So is this a romance? Or is it just a nice friendship? Stella's just a really top person, isn't she? And I like the fact that she went, you're only doing this because you want to prove that you're an amazing mum and... You know, because that's the only reason. Why else would you bother making a kid's...
Yeah.
Also, if you're... Oh, my God, it's so easy. Black leggings.
Yeah.
Black T-shirt.
Yeah.
Draw a spider's web on in black eyeliner. Yeah. And put that on their cheek. Done.
Yeah.
You don't need to stuff tights. We've all tried stuff tights. It never works.
They just cat-tails. Flop there. Yeah.
And they don't stay on.
No.
And obviously Rosie is not going to go on stage because
they'll
be
none left. And halfway to school, one of them's been pulled off and he's being used to bash the other sibling over the head with.
Exactly. I don't think the teacher... I don't think the teacher was thinking, you need to go on Amazon and buy a really good spider costume.
No.
I just think she probably thought, black leggings, black T-shirt,
yeah.
done.
Yeah. Yeah, so and if you want to look horrifying like Kanye West, then maybe a black balaclava as well. If you just want to terrify everybody in the audience, that's fine.
And if surely, like, she could be a sheep if she wants to be a sheep. You can't have two. I mean, unless the spider has really specific lines, it doesn't really matter if it's a spider or a sheep, does it?
I'm a sheep in my web. Yes, I can see that not working.
So I think Pip's over. I don't think, but it obviously, you know, it's her first experience of kids' nursery or whatever it is, school nativity. So fair dues.
Yeah. I mean, when you've obviously had far more experience of this and far more recent experience of this. When my eldest.
Well, no, because of COVID. Not really. Yeah.
When my eldest first went to school, then she'd come home with a little piece of paper and it would say, please can Tilly come to school? Dressed as, you know, a fairy princess next Tuesday. And I'd think, ah! And then every hour of my day was consumed with creating some. And I roped half the street into you know, borrowing things and sewing things and God knows what else. And then William would come home with something that said, can William, and William would usually have lost it in his bag as well. So I wouldn't have found it until the day before, you know, could he come to school dressed as a snowflake? And sometimes I would write no on the piece of paper and send it back in. And sometimes I would say, right, yes, where's your gym kit? Right, that's white. Good. That's a white thing. And here's some glitter. Off you pop, darling. Have a lovely day. And that would be it.
But that's you're sort of lucky and unlucky that you probably didn't have class WhatsApp groups back then.
Yes,
when they're at primary, because now you can't ever forget. Like you are told
what's everyone doing for the so-and-so,
and then every day there's a notification. So there's never an excuse.
No,
you can't ever forget. It's a nightmare, and it's like then you're sort of like you get one the day before World Book Day. I don't know if you ever did that. And it's like, don't forget it's dressing up for World Book.
Also, it's Miss Halston's birthday on Tuesday, so I thought we should get some Quality Street or something. Oh. I'm happy to buy it, but could everyone else get me the money by then, please?
Oh, put £2 into my bank account. Here are my details. Yeah. What the class WhatsApp groups should be banned immediately. I'd rather just, you know, what's that phrase where...
Die?
You don't... No. What you don't know, you don't worry about.
Yes.
What's that phrase?
Something. I get the
something
the
like that. Yes. Someone will tell me on Instagram. Yes. Thanks. Anyway, yes. So don't worry, Pip. But it was a really nice scene, I thought, between her and Stella.
Yes.
And I love Stella, even though it's weird what she's doing with her nephew.
Mm.
But maybe her nephew's like 21.
I mean, and I know we're saying... We're coming at this from a very heteronormative point of view.
That's because we are.
That is because we are entirely heteronormative.
Unfortunately, we can't do anything about it.
I know. We've tried. God knows we've tried.
It'd be much better for the podcast for a start. Instead of just two chicks talking.
Sorry. Anyway.
I'm
mad, though, if that helps. Surely we get ticks for mental health things. But anyway. Because they didn't have... You don't have that sort of... We don't have to have that chat about, so, you seem to want to snog me, but I'm just checking, you're a man, but are you gay? Because then you think, well, if you are gay, then you wouldn't be trying to snog me anyway, would you? But...
Are you talking about me and you here?
No. we've been
I'm
through
not a
this.
Man. I know we don't see each other very often.
When you haven't shaved, it's an easy mistake to make, Harriet.
I know, and it gets worse, doesn't it, once you get past 40.
We're coming at it from that point of view. Like, they don't have to have that. Well, they sort of do have to have that discussion about exactly where it is going. Could you not just say now, because we want to know what we're dealing with here? But, you know, it doesn't work like that.
It could just be that they are... I don't even know why the romance issue came up originally between it was going to be Ruth and
because
Stella,
they spoke to each other in a mildly flirty way. And Ruth... And we were clearly a bit bored or horny that day. And Ruth... Pip got quite jealous when Stella appeared to get on well with
Ruth. If you were looking at that scene, if you were listening to that scene out of context and had never listened to this podcast, you would just go, oh, they're good mates.
Yeah.
They're really nice.
But
they
said,
have a
I could
really
kiss
nice
you.
Relationship.
I've never said that to one of my friends.
No, but no, yes.
I'd say, thank you.
So do you think they placed that line there deliberately to lead us on? Okay.
I do, yes.
Right, okay. Yes, interesting. And it's very convenient, obviously, that Toby's left now.
Yes.
So, and Stella hasn't met anyone as far as we know.
No.
And I just don't really want her to go out with Pip.
But if it makes Pip easier for us to live with, I'm fine with that.
Yeah. She might just... Pip, it's like...
Plus, I'm quite looking forward to Jill finding out and frothing at the mouth.
Oh, my God, can you imagine? Jill, it'd be really funny, wouldn't it, if Jill was just like, I'm fine with it. Totally fine. Whatever. You're going to adopt a baby or one of you get pregnant. How does it work? But it's good that Pip... Because it's really hard to know what it is with her, isn't it? But there's something she... The way she speaks is not normal, is it? Usually.
Hang on. The dog is now attempting...
to eat your microphone?
Come here, you idiot. Oh.
That's our executive producer you're talking to, Lucy.
Sir. Right, off you go, sir. Go and find your tennis ball over there. Thank you for your help in this matter.
Anywho, it's all good. I just love Stella.
Yes.
Just love her to pieces.
And whatever shonky line she's given.
She does. She just throws it away beautifully, doesn't
she? She makes it not shonky anymore.
Yeah.
And then you run it through your head and think, cool, I'm glad so-and-so didn't have to say that because it would have sounded awful.
That's the thing. Everything she says sounds effortless and natural.
Whereas
everything
Pip says sounds effortful.
Yes,
unless she's with Stella, in which case Stella picks her up and takes her with her.
Yes, that's the thing. And the pace was good and the warmth was good. The chemistry was lovely.
Yeah.
Very, very good. Everything was great.
Yeah.
And then there was that interesting thing between Mick and Joy this week, wasn't there? Which was, because it's clever. Again, it's like really just delightful storylines, which I find really... cute. Like
and nobody's playing out of character either. Everyone's all playing true to type.
But the sort of like, you know, splitting Mick and Joy into separate choir camps is great. And of course, Jolene's a bitch. And it's just brilliant.
I tell you what,
though,
that choir, bloody amazing. Can you imagine?
I was like, what are they going to sound like if they were...
I know, they'd practised. Imagine that.
Yeah. They'd had one session together or... I was trying to explain that to myself in my head. Like, what's the justification for them sounding so good apart from the fact that they're all actors? It must
that
be
they're
that
a recording. They couldn't find a recording of somebody.
No, but like for the sort of the truth of the storyline will have to be that they've sung that in other choirs over the years because they were unbelievably
and it's a standard,
good for a first practice.
One of our listeners, Claire Marsh, has said very similar. Because she's at the moment in Jolene's position. So in due course, we will come to her email.
No, but also actors, like even if they're trying to sound crap.
Yeah, they can't help.
Just can't help it. It's all going to be in tune and then there'll be one bum note. But you don't notice because the rest of it's all brilliantly sung. Anyway, I can't wait. I'm really... really happy about the choir thing and I'm actually genuinely looking forward to
and it's so much more
arches.
Interesting than the flipping
because
there's no we haven't got Robert Snow bumping around sawing things in half with Linda shouting Robert when she's
God.
Robert when she's trying to run lines
Robert?
Nobody's stropping off and nobody's
Robert I can't remember what happened to my Robert. That used to be my get into Linda line.
Maybe it's because
Robert,
he's died.
Robert today
you can't
oh my
do
God,
it
maybe. Maybe because I have... Robert! Yeah, I just can't do it, Linda. Linda is gone, Lucy. Robert and I. Caroline. No, because I still get into it by going, Caroline. Caroline died ages ago. Caroline.
You're like a roll call of obituaries of dead characters.
I'll just end up in an old people's home going, Caroline.
Of course she died in 1982.
No, dear, there's
no
Caroline here. Robert and I.
No, it's Rufus. Rufus. Do you remember? Yes, he's coming in soon. Yes.
What were we talking about? Jolene. Oh, yeah, Jolene's choir.
Yeah, Jolene's
love
choir.
It. Because that's the thing, isn't it? Why would you then? Because then in my head I was thinking, and how can the scriptwriters explain the fact that some people deliberately chose Jolene's choir over Fallon's fun one, but maybe people like Kirsty thought, I'm a really good singer and I'm going to have more of a sort of classical experience in Jolene's choir, or I'm going to be challenged. Because otherwise, why wouldn't you just join Fallon's?
Yeah. Didn't one start slightly before the other one?
No, well, Fallon started first. Oh. She got the ball rolling first, didn't she? But then, and then they must have had a race around the village to get people to sign up to each of their choirs.
Because I can imagine Jolene being a lot more forceful in her persuasion.
Yeah,
Fallon would just say, "Well, you know, come if you want to," and
it should be a fun time,
you know. Yeah. And Jolene's more like, we need you because, you know, I haven't got enough tenors or something.
Fallon's running an amateur choir for the under-16s. But if you want to join mine, we'll be doing some Christmas classics. Not Billy Joel. What's the other one?
Chris Rea, Driving Home for Flipping Christmas.
No, you know, what's the guy, you know, the 1950s Christmas.
Oh, God's sake.
I haven't got any brain cells tonight, Lucy. They've just disappeared with the week.
Yes. Nat King Cole. Is that
I think so. I think there's someone else as well, but who did Well, the Weather Outside?
The Coercive Control song.
Yes.
The Date Rape song. Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
But it's a really good song. It's one of my faves. Mm. Christmas classics. Singers. He's something like...
There's Dean Martin.
Dean Martin. Mm. That's who I'm thinking about. Okay. Not Billie Jean. Not Billy Joel. Not Billy Idol.
Not Billie Jean King.
Not Billie Eilish. That's the one. Billie Eileen. Billie Eilish. Billie Eilish.
Eilish, not Eilish.
Eileen Billy.
Come on, Eileen Billy. That one, yeah.
Yes. I know what we're talking about. Yeah, the Joy. What is up with Joy and Mick then? Is it just the fact that he's gone too soon? Or because when they were clinching in that clinch.
And she said something's drying out.
Yeah, and she was, yeah. And it's too dry, Mick.
You can get a gel, Joy. Honestly, it's fine.
But I was actually thinking perhaps it is that more than... It might be that, you know, it's been so probably quite a long time since Joy's had a boyfriend. Is it that she's nervous about letting... I don't know. I wondered if it was more than just the simple fact that he said, I love you. Because it felt uncomfortable, didn't it?
I mean, all of it. Something is clearly bothering her and it's something that encompasses all of it. She's as uncomfortable with the physical stuff as she is with the emotional stuff. And I imagine it's all linked. So it's going to be one thing. So either she's still got a husband somewhere.
Oh,
or
that would be good, wouldn't it?
She's worried about Rochelle. Or she's just... you know, out of practice.
Yeah. I think it's more likely to be the third, but I really like the first theory. That would be great. Yes, it would. Yes. Yeah. So that was sort of interesting, wasn't it? But that's why this week was good, because there was a lot of light-hearted fun stuff.
Yeah.
And then there were just occasional little moments, weren't there, of a serious, you know...
Ben going round to Chelsea's was awful.
Oh my God. But it was so good, that scene, I thought.
Yeah.
I mean, I just, it really made me like Chelsea so much more as well. And then you're like, God, this girl is so mature. And it was such a good flip of the sort of, she's been through the abortion, but, you know, she's strong. She's had so much support and, you know, she seems to be doing okay. And then the contrast was amazing. But the way she dealt with it as well was so believable, I thought, and so tender, really, you know.
And also, I think Jazza's response and Tracy's response was
perfect in a way, I thought. Perfect from a protecting Chelsea point of view.
Yeah, I mean, not ideal from an ideal situation. Obviously, he'd have said, yes, we need
but
to call in the professional.
He's
clearly having an episode.
And blah, blah, blah.
But they were just like, no, you've got to concentrate on yourself. You don't, you know, and totally believable, totally, in character.
It was just really everything, like in the last few weeks, seems to have been very believable and normal, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And not overblown, which is amazing.
Well, I think the big overblown thing was Jill. There was the Jill thing.
I enjoyed that because they'd flipped everything on its head.
Yes. But then she's kept quiet since then and it hasn't rumbled on. She's just left. She's just got on with it. She's making presumably Christmas puddings for the entire village now. I don't know.
It was brilliant that she basically said, Jolene, can you bugger off?
Can you stop third wheeling?
I thought we were friends. But he's your perfect daughter-in-law. No.
It's so interesting how Kenton just went, oh, I see. I told you she'd do it to you as well. And you think, where is all this criticism of Jill coming from when none of you have said a word for 150 years we've put up with her as Saint Jill? And now the mask has slipped publicly and now you're all piling in to go, and I didn't like it when she did this.
To Jill, though, it is annoying having someone chaperoning you.
Yeah.
You know, and Jill probably thought that she was being patronised a little bit. Yeah. But Jolene was so desperate, wasn't she, to be the favourite daughter-in-law.
And also, you've got to remember that if you come from outside Ambridge, you have no family.
Jolene's only got...
No one knows anything about Jolene's parents. No. Pat never sees her parents. Kirsty never sees her parents.
So Jill's everyone's granny.
Yeah. And so if you're allowed access to a senior citizen in Ambridge, it goes to your head a bit, I think.
I love
if they're not yours, you know.
Yeah, that Ruth, she's a right bitch, isn't she?
Tell me more about how she's a right...
right. Well, she can't make lasagna. What are you talking about? She's a woman. She's not a real woman like me.
Feel them, Jill. They're all real. Give them a poke.
You may not think so, but they're firm. Firm as...
Don't go there.
I've got no. I know you didn't like the David Christmas dinner thing, but... I felt like at least they all owned up to being rubbish cooks.
Yeah.
So that was sort of okay. I mean, it's like, oh, your heart sinks, doesn't it? When it's sort of like, I've got to make a massive gesture. I'm going to cook Christmas dinner. And everybody groans. You know? And it is. But then I didn't mind it because they are all shit at cooking. So it's fine. It wasn't the fact that he's, you know.
I know.
But then I thought actually Ruth and Pitt were a bit snidey at first.
But it's also the way that they treat cooking like it's some sort of black art.
Oh, I know. I mean, honestly, loves, it's not that hard anymore.
10-year-olds can do it. Have you not seen Julia Bake Off?
You just put a thing in the oven.
Yeah.
Put the potatoes in with it.
Yeah.
Boil your sprouts, done.
There's YouTube, you know, there's things to help you. There's books that literally say, turn the big silver thing, you see the runny stuff, that's water. Put some of that in one of the silver cuppy things. And from that stage. And they're still all going, oh my God.
That's the annoying thing about Christmas dinner. I'm not really into Christmas dinner. I'd rather have something nice. Mm. But obviously,
it's just a roast with a hat on.
But actually,
that's
the thing. It's a roast, isn't it?
Yeah.
But the expectation that it makes it much more of a big deal, much more of a faff than it actually is.
Yeah.
Because also, like, turkeys...
Get everybody drunk and put crackers out. That's it. That's all you need to do. And then do a roast. That's it. The end.
Cook a meat that's not going to give you salmonella.
Yeah.
Like a, you know, red
Or that
meat
tastes nice, unlike turkey. Or tastes of something, unlike turkey.
Have you ordered a turkey?
Yes.
I have too.
Okay.
Cheap.
No.
Not cheap.
Even the deposit was like, how much?
So I was a bit shocked. So I'm getting a small, well, I thought it was a small one this year, but
I want to just buy a dead one. I don't want to rear it from hand.
but that'll be hilarious. But it won't matter, Lucy. We won't care because it'll be Christmas and we'll enjoy looking forward to hearing the Christmas choir off concerts on Boxing Day.
And then we'll be looking forward to our pantomime, which is going out on Christmas Day.
Oh, Christmas Day?
Yes, because it is on Sunday.
Wow! Who's in it?
Check your emails.
Tom
it's all I'm saying. Check your emails.
It's you and Tom.
Yeah.
And Cooper.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. And Tom's dog.
Yeah. I missed that one, Lucy. I missed that email. Lucy.
What?
I guess who I saw this week in a studio.
Who?
Oh, Julianne.
No.
Yes. Yes.
Sorry, I blew the mic then. No.
It's good. It's good. I love it. She was Lisa Bauman, isn't it? She was there and she was, I was in a separate studio, but we were in the sort of social bit together. But she was talking to her group of people and I was like, I know that voice. Honestly, I went, oh my God, it's Julianne. And then I looked at her properly and I was like, oh yes, that's definitely Lisa Bauman. But I was too embarrassed to go because I just thought, you can't go up to Julianne and go, I really love what you're doing on The Archers. I really love your character.
Can I give you my card? Can we go networking together? How are your tights?
This is weird.
Show us your cords.
I love that bit where you got him to suck your toes.
Yeah. Oh, no, actually, that was like me and my friend talking about it. Sorry, it didn't really happen.
But don't you think that is too controversial a character to...
Yeah.
Anyway, I didn't want to disturb her anyway because she was in the middle of a big conversation. Yeah. But I was so sorely tempted to go and get a selfie. And then I just thought, I'll look like a dick.
I could just imagine her talking to a group of friends and you sort of snuggled up next to her, beaming with a thumb up and her not looking, sort of
That's
looking at you in the corner of her eye. Who is this little blonde trying to...
She was having a conversation and I was literally staring at her with a smile on my face, hoping she'd turn around and recognise me. She never would.
You're doing
have done,
the old but... laser into the back of her head, hoping that somehow...
I wanted her to come up to me and go, oh my God, I love that podcast you're doing. That bit where you talked about my bunions, I loved it.
Well, we had that, didn't we, with Fallon this week?
Yes, Fallon did listen to our advent calendar.
Yes.
And guys, if you're not listening to the advent calendar, it was quite a lot of work, wasn't it, Lucy?
So it was really. Yeah.
Please do open the windows. Please do make the effort. Thanks. It's 24 days in December, don't you know?
24 of the buggers. Who knew?
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Oh, have you been opening your chocolate?
Yes. Oh, Lucy.
Isn't it
I put it on Instagram. Oh, because you're not on Instagram. You miss all my Insta stuff.
Sorry.
By the way, if anyone's left Twitter and has gone over to Insta, you can follow me at Shambridges, but I mostly now just post about Ambridge on the couch.
Okay.
Because when have I got the time to do Shambridge? But anyway, I will do soon though. But anyway, so I'm at Shambridges. There's a lot of Ambridge on the couch stuff, including, yes, I opened on the, obviously, 1st of December. That truffle is amazing.
I know. Isn't it a nice start to the day? I sat there in bed this morning with my cup of tea and the cat, and I just thought, this is marvellous. I could, yeah.
I actually
Why don't they do advent calendars for every day of the year?
I can't have mine at breakfast because breakfast is too horrible with all my children. It's just not a relaxing time. I can't enjoy a truffle.
And then everyone would go, breakfast. Where did you get that from?
Yes,
can we have one? What is it? Can I have a bit?
they've already, yeah, because theirs aren't wrapped in gold. And as soon as I took it down, so they've all got their own advent calendars. As soon as I took mine down, obviously, that can we have that one? I was like, no. This is, it's such a grown-up advent calendar, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Because the truffles are grown, but also they're not disgusting truffles.
They're not too sweet. Really, yeah.
No, when people buy really posh, rich ones, they're too posh and rich. But these actually taste like nice chocolate.
Yeah.
Almost like dairy milk. But better quality. So thanks, James Cadbury.
Yes.
Thanks,
James. Thank you, James.
For sending us your advent.
Chocolates.
Your chockies. Chocolates. Saw Julianne. Funny how Jazza and Tracy can't afford Christmas, but they can potentially afford a wedding.
Yeah.
It went from...
I know. We can't afford to buy Sprouts. However, we can afford a marquee. Well, no, because they were talking about budget weddings, weren't they?
Yeah, and that you should just get on and do it. A budget wedding is actually expensive because you've got to buy people a sandwich at least.
Mm.
And you've got to have at least one free drink.
Yeah.
Surely.
Yeah.
But don't you think maybe... I think they will get married next year, don't you?
I think they'll win one. I think they'll win a holiday.
Oh, no, do
and
you?
Yeah, I think they'll win a holiday and they'll have to go and then she'll say this should be a honeymoon and then they'll get married for it to be a honeymoon.
Excellent. And Oliver so they'll can end just up going supply to... the booze. Oh, maybe they'll end
the
up
bank
in the
of Oliver. Get your checkbook out, Oliver.
Oliver,
to justify your presence
really
somehow.
Really nice of you to pay for Brad, but
fork it over,
Jazza.
Oliver.
We have got jobs now, but can you pay for our thing?
We'll give you a sprout. Yes. But no, I hope they do. I hope they do because I think they're a lovely couple. Yeah. I'm not entirely sure that Jazza is. He expressed a desire to have children. He didn't express a particular desire to get married, I don't think.
And also, I still think of Jazza as sort of 27.
Yeah.
And Tracy as being a lot older, but that's clearly not the case. But yeah, I thought that as well. I thought he did sort of imply that he would quite like to have kids.
Mm.
And I guess if he marries Tracy, well, it might happen. They might have a baby. We don't
know. Hang on one sec. Sorry, I need to let the dog out again. Oops. Sorry.
We wish you a merry... Oh, I know. I'll play the listener this funny bit of Ben. When Ben was going mad, I didn't know if he had said this on purpose or not. You can listen while Lucy's doing the dog. I'll just see if it's going to work. Oh, hang on. Here we go.
You're going to be fine in this old people's home, you know, Harriet.
Yeah, talking to myself. I'm talking to the listeners.
The second I leave, you just start chuntering away to yourself and you're so happy.
I do. Well, I was actually trying to play this to you. Okay, hang on one sec. This is what Ben said when he was a bit manic and I didn't know if he'd done it deliberately or not.
It's her fur. It's all matted. She moles around in the rud, you see, and I can't stop her.
Moles around in the rud?
Yeah, listen again.
I did hear that the first time, actually. Yeah.
Did he do it on purpose or not?
It's her fur.
No.
It's all matted. She moves around in the rud, you see, and I can't stop.
Because that's quite easy to miss, isn't it?
But yeah.
Do you think that wasn't like he wasn't told to say that, he just...
No, I think it was a cock-up and they
the
left
rud.
It in there. Moles around in the rud. Yeah.
But that was... and Chelsea was like, moles around in the rud. I thought that was really... clever, that scene, didn't you?
Yeah.
It could have been annoying, couldn't it? And it wasn't.
I think it was his desperate need to connect with somebody.
Because I thought
it was just heartbreaking.
Has he taken coke?
Yeah, yeah.
But then actually, it's more than that. It's not drugs, is it? He wasn't.
No, he's having a manic episode. He's having a psychotic breakdown.
And could it be? Like PTSD
from
the sort of panic attack from the trauma that he because you can get PTSD from a trauma, can't you? That isn't necessarily a physical trauma.
Or
is it just what do you think? You now you speak.
Thank you. Now you speak.
Now speakest thou, because you know about this shit. I'll just shut up and drink my wine. I'm going to listen to you now.
I found this week quite hard to listen to because I have been in the same place as Ben. And I thought it was brilliantly done. I think what he's having, I am no expert. I think what he's having is what used to be called a nervous breakdown. I think it's now called a psychotic episode or a something episode. Manic depressive episode almost, because he went from manic to so down so quickly. But I think when I had it, I've experienced it twice, and it is just a feeling of absolute and total overwhelming inability to process and cope and make a decision, and staying where you are is incredibly uncomfortable and just impossible because it's so painful and awful. So you kind of sorry.
Oh, Lucy.
So you kind of go off somewhere else. And so that when he rushed off to go and see Chelsea, it was his desperate need to connect with somebody about something that wasn't him, just to make a bond.
And he said to her, didn't he? He sort of needed her to say she's going through the same thing.
Yeah.
She didn't really.
Yeah. And he said, so I don't know. I mean, how are you feeling? I mean, it's worse for you. It's worse for you. But, you know, how are you? Yeah, exactly. He needed that confirmation that what had happened was hard. I don't think it's, I don't know. But I don't know all the stuff about PTSD because I know that it changes so quickly, mental health definitions and things. But I think he's just completely overwhelmed. More has happened to him in the last 6 months than has happened to him in the last 16 years. And he just, his brain's just now flatlined and it's just going, nope, don't know, you're on your own, don't know.
Yeah. And as Rev Julie pointed out, he's grieving, isn't he? He's lost so many precious things in the last couple of weeks as well.
Yeah.
In a way, more than Chelsea. I mean, you know, they both lost their baby, but you know, had to go through that difficult decision. But Ben also lost his love of his life and his grandmother's love as well.
And it wasn't his decision. I mean, he very properly and sensibly said, no, you're the mother, it is your decision. But any autonomy he had about that went as well. So he really has just been buffeted around by all these different things sideswiping him, and he's frantically trying to stay, just hang on to reality and stay himself and take control of things, and then obviously trying to do his work, which he just could not do. I was really lucky, and the second time it happened to me, I was working in London, and the marketing director of the company I was working for was training, bizarrely, to be a psychoanalyst, which was an incredible stroke of luck for me, because if I'd been working with somebody like David Archer, right, I'd be in the Maudsley. But anyway, and he...
have a hot bath.
Yeah, exactly.
Have a bath.
Maybe it needs to be hotter. I don't know. Different bath salts.
Yeah. Use a better bath.
And someone said to me, do you want, I thought something was wrong in the morning. I couldn't decide what to wear. And it wasn't just choosing between two outfits. It was, I'd opened my wardrobe door and I was just staring at all the clothes in my wardrobe and thinking, what do people wear? What are all these things? And none of them made any sense. And it's because it feels, you know, when your computer says, right, your memory is now full up and it's going to just start replacing things. And you think, no, don't do that. So you sort of panic and start hurriedly deleting things. And that's what it feels like for me. Felt like for me.
Yeah.
And
you can't get your mind in order then.
Yeah. And I had to ask Simon to say to me, what should I wear? And he said, oh, what? Because it's probably colder than it looks, so I think probably that. And he thought I was asking because I wasn't sure how, and I was like, okay, good. And thought, phew, I got away with that one. Right. Yeah. I went into work. Someone said to me, do you want a jacket potato or a sandwich for lunch? And I just repeated, and I can remember repeating, jacket potato
like
or a sandwich.
Just
yeah.
Like bended.
That's why it made me cry. And
oh, Lucy.
And they were. It was my friend Catherine, and she was going, no, look, which do you want? Because I'm going to the shop, but I need to go now. Or the
can
queue
you
be
hurry up?
Yeah. Yeah. And I was going, jacket potato or a sandwich. Oh. And she asked me once more, and I started to cry. Because the words that she was saying didn't make sense.
Yeah.
They didn't mean anything. And John said, let's go and have a chat. And as he's a marketing director from Blackpool, he didn't sound a lot like Joy, but he did say very similar things. And he said,
right.
Are things getting on top of you at the moment? You know, and he told me to go and see the GP and blah, 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 blah.
Wow.
And then I had therapy and I had antidepressants. Yeah. And he knew what was happening.
And did you not know what was happening?
No. I just knew that whatever it was, I had to keep it quiet because I was clearly shouldn't be allowed out on my own.
And also, I guess if, like Ben, I guess if you haven't had an experience like that before, why would you, you would just think, I am, of course I'm fine.
Yeah.
Because that's the person I am. I'm always fine and I am, like with his counsellor.
Or you say, well, no, it's me. I'm stupid and I'm not trying hard enough.
Yeah, and I'll get on top of things again.
Yeah, I'm just being lazy. Aww. So many people with mental health problems say, it's just me. I just need to pull myself together. I'm being lazy.
Yeah.
And it takes so much energy to worry continually. You're not lazy. You're working incredibly hard. You're just using all your energy on the wrong things.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I thought it was really, really well done. And what it was really, I mean, obviously, as I'm saying, this is only my experience, but
the fact that he
was stuck in that same loop of just repeating things and you could
like a robot.
And you have that look in your eyes, but the weird thing is it's a bit like sleep talking. You know that you're not making sense and that you're frustrating the person that's talking to you, but you can't get your brain to latch on to what they're on about to answer them properly. So you're getting frustrated and embarrassed and they're getting frustrated with you. And it's just awful. It's this horrible, out of control, sicky feeling like, go quiet and leave. And that's why people often run away or they disappear or whatever, because they suddenly realise I'm not making any sense now. And people are going to realise that I am.
Anyway, so what was the end result then? What happened? Did you went to the GP?
I went to the GP. They said you've got depression and you've possibly got something called cyclothymia, which is like a mini manic depression, is the best way of describing it. So it's sort of 3 days up, 4 days down. The ups are quite good because it means I can write 7 scripts in 3 days.
It's such a writer's illness, isn't it?
It's such a writer's illness, but then you're in bed crying for the second half of the week.
Yeah, but the content you create.
Yeah, but the
it's worth it.
For somebody with a savage work ethic, it works quite well. And they said get a therapist. So I did. Also, something that did worry me about the Ben thing was that they're all sitting in. Sorry to be depressing everybody.
Yeah, go on.
But they're all sitting there in A&E and Joy going, oh, well, you know, he's in the right place now. He'll be seen. But for the last week, there has not been one mental health bed in the whole of the UK.
Yeah.
A free one. They're putting people in police cells now.
Oh, God.
There isn't even a waiting list. They've had to shut the waiting list. There isn't even any space on the waiting list, particularly for CAMHS, which is the one that deals with young adolescents. And I know this because my friend is quite sort of senior in it. So
he's going to have a hard time being seen.
But he's not, though, is he? Because it's the Archers and you get, you know, Lizzie had two weeks of antidepressants. I feel marvellous. And that was that.
I did get a bit annoyed when he was like, I'm not in an ambulance, though, because I was like, but you wouldn't get an ambulance, would you? Because you'd just drive him to the hospital, wouldn't you?
Yeah, but if they think, if you speak to the 111 people and they think that you're at risk of self-harming, then they'll send an ambulance.
Right.
Except but then I think they won't now because there aren't any ambulances either.
Exactly. But I felt like they have put that line in just to make sure people didn't get an ambulance.
Yes.
If they were in the same situation. That's the trouble, isn't it? I guess it's really, they're very, very good at this sort of stuff. But occasionally you feel like it's gone a bit BBC at times.
It's gone a bit BBC and it's gone a bit preachy and a bit public service announcement, hasn't it?
Yeah. Also, it's very convenient that Joy knew exactly how to handle the situation.
Yeah.
But bless her, she was perfect.
She was too perfect, though. It made me wonder if she'd had experience of mental health things.
Well,
I wondered if her ex-husband had been sectioned
exactly,
or something like that.
Exactly. And is that why she's a bit worried about?
Yeah.
Exactly. Is it going to tie into the Joy and Mick storyline? Anyway, but there's, it's good. It's just good, the Archers at the moment.
Yeah, it is. And it's good in a not too intense way. Tonight was quite intense, but...
Yeah, but it
mostly.
Wasn't. Yeah, but it wasn't. It wasn't over the top, though, was it?
No, it wasn't. No, so, I liked it a lot. Well done, BBC. Yeah.
Well done, BBC. And could somebody please go and find that bloody dog? I'd have laughed if the dog had been just sitting in the middle of the road. And Joy was like,
when I was poorly, right. I was. One of the times I was poorly, I was in Switzerland and I looked at the tram track.
Switzerland?
Yeah, when I lived I lived in Zurich for a bit.
Oh, yeah.
And I looked at the tram tracks and the tram tracks were snakes, had turned into snakes. And the snakes were
Golly.
All running up the road in the... And I was looking around thinking, no one else has seen
Lucy,
this. Should
horrible.
I tell? Should I tell someone?
Whoa.
Does everybody know this? And you... Because you really are aware that you're not quite there, but you're thinking... You know, I don't want to be the one that doesn't do anything when the whole of Zurich is overrun with snakes. But, you know, I probably should.
Oh, God.
Looking back on it now, it's absolutely astonishing, you know. But
and
still very real
even
because it
do
felt
anything about
real.
It then?
No, I just
did
ignored it because I thought I'm not confident enough in what I'm seeing to say anything to anybody.
Oh, poor you. Oh, Lucy. I've got your back.
Thank you very much.
You, babe. I can come to any. Actually, I'd rather not, thanks, because it's like a 12-hour wait. Joy is clearly not
I know.
Busy.
Joy is a hero. It's all right. I've taped Coronation Street. I'll be.
Yeah.
I've got nothing
on. I loved
on.
It. I loved it that she'd recorded Corey. I love it. I'm
I've
so
cleared
happy
my
they
schedule.
Put that in. I could probably watch it on my phone. I can't do the voices tonight. The voices have gone. The voices have gone from me. They've gone.
You sound like a really bad medium who's not being paid enough. The voices are not coming through tonight. You need to put another 20 quid in the pot. Thank you.
I used them all up in the advent calendar.
I know.
And now they've gone. They've gone.
Can I just tell you, ladies and gentlemen, Harriet is voicing away like...
Voiced away. I voiced away. I want to get them right.
You do get them right.
But it's hit and miss sometimes. Depends what sort of mood I'm in. Oh, well, anyway, sorry. Shall I tell you shall I read out a really nice review we've had?
Yes, please.
Because I just want to say thanks. Because, you know, occasionally I say, do a big shout out for reviews.
Yes.
And then I forgot about it. And then 6 weeks later,
and then
I
you're
checked.
Always massively surprised when people have done it.
Massively surprised. People have reviewed lately. And it's so nice. And the first one I just saw said, it's from Z Charlotte Z. Make of that what you will. Z Charlotte Z. Thanks, Harriet, Lucy, Jeff and the dog. Brackets, temporarily forgotten its name. Got a very stressful week coming up next week and trying to get myself in a positive frame of mind. Ambridge on the couch, exactly what I needed. Combination of humour, wackiness and sheer pleasure in the creative thinking that you and your followers generate.
Oh,
kind, thanks. Sometimes I just can't believe my ears. I don't know.
You and you and us both, mate.
But I thought that was so lovely. Thank you so, so much, Charlotte,
thank
for
you.
Sending that. And
yes. Can I just say that Jeff and Harriet are doing their nuts, trying to fulfil all the many, many, many thousands of instructions I've given them with scripts and advent calendars.
Wait, you've got to do it all.
Yeah, I like, but it's easy. I just do it and then I pass it over and go, it's off my intro. It's now in yours. Bye. And then go off and do something else.
But because of Charlotte's email, got a very stressful week coming out next week, trying to get myself into a positive frame of mind. Do you think we should recommend ourselves to Ben?
Yes.
Positive frame of, you know.
Yeah, probably not the episodes when we told him to shut up whinging.
No. Apart from those, are we the equivalent of Joy doing that calm voice?
Yeah. We're Prozac.
Good.
Love. Yeah.
Prozac.
Without the unpleasant side effects.
Thank you, Charlotte. Thank you, everyone, for reviewing.
Yes.
I know it's really boring for Lucy to hear this, but it really makes... Because Lucy doesn't read them, but when I read them, I get a little spring in my heart. So thanks.
Aww. And I get a little spring in mine secondhand when Harriet reads them to me.
Exactly. Because everyone needs a pat on the back every so often. So thanks.
Right, this is from Catherine, who says... waiting in your roundup for you to say that Vince was going to buy the land. I'm sure he will, just to annoy David.
Whoa.
Also, I'm already getting tense about the Christmas episode when Alistair and Denise get off with each other and Paul is appalled. Hopefully the hilarious hijinks between the choirs will lighten the atmosphere. Long-time listener, first-time emailer, Catherine. Thank you, Catherine.
Thank you, Catherine.
The person that's buying the land has said they want it for a pony, don't they?
Yeah, well, might be Steffi is getting a pony and a paddock. Because she just disappeared now, hasn't she? So I'm just pistachioing up.
Stephanie.
I think they might have hinted, don't you think? More if it had been Vince.
Mm.
But who knows?
Mm.
Exciting times.
Owen Kiffin is cross with you, Harriet.
What have I done?
Yeah. He says, I must confess to being a little shocked this week by how easily and seamlessly Harriet just slipped into saying, I would have just said JW was my boss.
Yeah, I would.
All too easy, and he says, almost practiced sounding. Mm-hmm. I'm feeling a bit censorious about it and feel like the epithet floozy could be applied, and I may need to report her to Jill of Torquemada for a spot of inquisitioning. Oh, and if Mr. Thomas starts getting ideas about whether Lucy can do a Fallon Cadbury's Caramel Bunny voice, just reminding the original Bunny, who Fallon reminds me so much of, was voiced by Miriam Margolyes. That should scare him into compliance. Personally, I think I am much more a Miriam Margolyes than I am a Fallon, so there we go. Although I still chuckle occasionally when I remember her performance on BBC Radio 4 a couple of weeks ago. Ha ha, so do I. That was brilliant. Anyway, I got a bit rambly, so keep up the good work. Thank you, Owen. And I have passed your comments on to Ms. Carmichael, who will reflect on what she's done.
We'll delete all those inappropriate numbers in my phone. I will,
yep.
I promise. Because they're just gone. I've put them on silent now, Lucy. My phone's just been pinging away silently. All from my boss.
Reverend Julie.
Harrison. Fallon is hard to do because
she is.
But that's what I had to do. I couldn't not do her slow, but then because there's a sort of drawl in there sometimes.
It's like a drowsy drawl, isn't it? But it's
but then actually, if you listen to her, she's not like that. She's not slow at all. But it's just that gets you into her, so to speak.
It's sort of she sidles up to words rather than just tackling them head on.
Yes, maybe that's why we all love her voice.
Yeah.
She's very laid back.
Yeah.
Yep.
This is from Reverend Julie. Dear lovely ladies, Fabulous Febreze and Paulie Cooper, get well soon. I believe that the word for which Harriet was groping to describe Ruth's refusal to back down in her confrontation with Jill is principled rather than dogmatic. If that's correct, you're welcome. Pip, pip, Reverend Jules. Thank you, Reverend Jules. That was exactly the word. Well, it was a word I was groping for. I don't know if it was a word. Was it the word you were groping for too?
But then actually I like dogmatic because it's got the word dog in it. But it totally was. And actually, it totally was. Was it Rev Julie who Instagrammed me about it? Because someone else said that to me on Instagram. Is Julie on Instagram?
Don't know.
It's hard, Lucy. It's hard to keep up. It's hard running your own social media site, Lucy. Honestly.
I'm not doing that for you. Forget it. No.
But it might have been Rev Julie, the Instagram.
Wait till I'm having a manic episode. Then I'll do everything.
Oh, please, can you just run the Instagram as well? Thanks.
I'll do your Christmas cards. Everything. Yeah, no problem.
Thanks. But thank you to anybody else who also suggested principled. That is exactly what I was looking for.
Right.
I just couldn't think of the word. It's just these late nights on Fridays. Just yes. Half of my brain is
8:15.
Shut down.
8:44. This is from Claire Marsh, who says...
Hi, Claire.
I'm writing to sympathise with you about finding badly written comedy very annoying. I'm beginning to understand how you feel. By the time you record the next Ambridge on the Couch, I suspect I will totally understand. There is a simple reason for this. I am a choral director. Not sure I'll ever forgive you for the term choral sex. I conduct a village choir that would probably be of a similar standard to what Ambridge would be capable of, assuming they had more than 4 weeks rehearsal. It has taken a lot of work and rehearsal, and I have what I hope will be an entertaining Christmas concert coming up very soon. But it's hard. Hard getting enough people who can sing. Hard teaching them the music. Hard trying to get them to perform confidently and entertainingly. It is hugely rewarding and I absolutely love it. But if two people who have only ever sung with a band and not with a choir create two choirs in a month that are good enough for their own Radio 4 Boxing Day special, I will be annoyed. Even Gareth Malone couldn't perform that sort of miracle, though if they had him doing a guest role as choir director, it would be more believable. I know it's the same for all professionals when listening to their soap opera counterparts, but people think choir directing is easy, but it isn't! And then she says, follow up to previous message. I knew I'd messaged too soon. Just listen to the choir rehearsal on Thursday. Oh my God, that is ridiculous. Sorry to bother you again, Claire.
Claire. Please do us a favour and record
your choir. What one actually, a real one sounds like.
Yes, yes. If your choir wouldn't mind, because I just love a choir. I don't care if it's a rubbish choir or a brilliant choir. I love hearing choirs. Could we have a snippet of your choir, please? In time for Christmas. Thank God.
Yes.
Or even just a bit of a snippet of rehearsal, because then at least we can, you know, project a bit of reality into Thatcher's, what it might be like. I love choirs. I went to my daughter's choir, their school concert yesterday, and now she's at big school. It's another level to primary school. And though, you know, they're all still a bit rubbish, aren't they? But
yeah,
it's very moving, isn't it? Listening to young people sing and old people, any old people singing, it just gets you. It gets you. It just does, doesn't it?
I don't know why this has made me think of this, but this is another Alan Bennett story that I heard this week when he was interviewing kids for the History Boys. One young lad popped up and he said to him, "Have you had any experience?" He said, "Yes, yes, yes. I was in Julius Caesar at school." And he said, "Oh, brilliant. What did you play?" And he went, "The drums." Anyway, this is
the
from...
The History Boys came to my party once.
No.
When I lived in Nunhead, me and a load of actors, and we just left drama school, we had a brilliant party. I can't remember when it was or what it was for. And the History Boys came. They were at the National doing the History Boys, and they came to our party.
Did James Corden come?
It must have done. I mean, I sort of had no real recollection of it, but they were definitely there. And it was a brilliant party. And I can't remember much about it. But yeah, isn't that
Did
funny?
You get off with Van History Boy?
Oh, if only I had. I mean, I can't even remember. Maybe.
Maybe you got off with all of them. And Alan Bennett. Who knows?
No, not the good looking one. Not Dominic.
Oh.
He got off with my friend.
Anyway, really?
But, wow. Yeah. Anyway, it was all exciting. I love the History Boys. That was in the good old days, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yes.
Anyway, just sorry for that showing off aside.
Lovely. Yeah. Jenny Goy has emailed us to say she's now listening to us in preference to the omnibus.
because Lucy does a better roundup. I agree.
She listens on the way back from dropping her son off at school on Monday morning. And if we say it's been a good week, then she listens to the actual Archers on Tuesday's walk home from school.
It's been a great week.
She has sent me a picture of... Yes, you definitely need to listen this week. She sent me a picture of her dog, Bertie, who is a gorgeous...
Oh, what?
Dachshund.
What?
He's what? So beautiful. He's
oh,
got...
what's a Dachshund?
Yeah, sausage dog.
Oh, a sausage dog. No. Oh,
he is so beautiful. And he has got
dog.
Those lovely little wrinkly feet that look like... You know when they haven't grown into their feet and their ears? Just gorgeous. Anyway, she's going to send dogs. Me... a dog accessory, a dog walking bag for Cooper to try.
To imagine put the dog that. In. You
no,
put
I'm not
dog
putting
in
Cooper in it. I'd need some sort Cooper's of my, crane and a hoist. He weighs 24 kilos. I'm not. No, it's not a dog. It's not a bag to walk the dog in. I presume it's to collect poo or put leads in or something.
Like a sort of like a nappy bag, but for dogs.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, thank you very much. I'm very much looking forward to that.
That is exciting.
Yes. Patricia Johnson is still time travelling. She says, it is 30th of November. I'm preparing tea, since you ask, homemade sweet potato and chickpea soup, vegan, except for the chicken stock and the roast chicken. Ha ha ha. I am listening to Amber on the Couch on the 28th of August. You and Jeff are discussing Chelsea giving a haircut to Poppy's guinea pig. Wondering if she'll do more pet-related grooming. You also talk about Stella preparing for Dunk the Vicar by learning to swim. Then, while walking the dogs at bedtime, I listen to the Archers for the 30th of November, and Stella thanks Pip for helping her with swinging. Ha! And Ben asks Chelsea for grooming tips for his sheepdog. You all rock. What insight, what predictions, she says.
Yes, that's amazing. So hang on. So she listened to it... Why
28th of August and 30th of November.
Because she was listening to the Archers real time, but she was listening to us back in the day. Yeah. What an amazing parallel.
Yeah. And she says, was anyone else shouting pool noodles at the radio as a suggestion for spider legs?
and it's swim related. It would be perfect.
Yeah. That would have worked, actually. Yeah.
Pool noodles are very thick.
And also you'd end up being a fluorescent green or orange spider.
And I know Rosie's bigger than, you know, most five-year-olds, but still, that's quite a lot of noodles to fit on a child's body, isn't it?
Be more noodle than child.
imagine Madison's mum saying that. Oh, they went the noodle route, did they? Well, it can only end in disaster.
I'm so glad we got out some Angel and Berman.
I'm so glad I paid Mrs. Froggatt for Madison to be the sheep. Why would you want to be a sheep? You wouldn't want to be the sheep. You want to be Mary. Everyone wants to be Mary.
Yeah.
Mary.
I didn't want to
be Mary all the way. Mm. What? You didn't want to be Mary?
I don't think
Everyone wants to be Mary. Surely. Mary's the only main character.
I was always the narrator.
Oh, that is such
And
a
it came
shit
to pass.
Part. That is an awful... And then your mum's like, I have to make a costume.
If you're not very pretty and you're good at speaking, then you are the narrator. That is what happens.
That's a shit.
Well, it serves you right for not being very pretty but being good at speaking. However, it has stood me in good stead, so I don't care.
Where you start sentences with however for a start. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Oh, it's fine. I'm nearly over it. It's all right. Don't mind, really. I wanted to be there with a tea towel on me head held on with an elastic band.
Of course you did. Or at least tinsel on your head. Or at least wearing a white sheet and tinsel.
Being able to see over the top of the pulpit would have been good. But anyway. Disembodied voice.
Oh, but everyone would have gone,
the people
what a
were
fabulous
gathered
speaking
for the
voice.
Census.
What a wonderful speaking voice.
Who was that child? It's a shame we couldn't see her. Yes,
why
was it
couldn't
a recording?
We see her?
No, it was me.
Does she have a face for radio? No, she doesn't, because she's.
Oh, look, she's coming down the pulpit. Whoa, okay, yeah, right, no, we can.
Stop it. No, narrate, you get the narrator. I always think narrators are quite tall. Usually I think they give it like the
tallest. That's because you're 2 foot six. Everyone is tall to you.
Yes, maybe that's right. And also, I actually didn't want to be Mary. I remember being offered Mary.
Oh, of course, and you turned it down.
I did.
You said, my agent will have to come back to you. I'm not sure. I'm on a pencil for a couple of other things.
Louise Walton, or whatever her surname was, got Mary that because cow. I said, Mrs. Rothwell, I don't want to be Mary because I want to be an innkeeper and do an accent. And I did.
Of course he did. What was the accent?
Well, it would have been like this, wouldn't it? Probably my go-to.
Is that how they spoke accent? In Nazareth? I didn't know. I want to be the innkeeper's wife and I want to do an accent.
And I was allowed to.
Yes, of course you were.
Because Mary doesn't really speak, let's be honest. She just smiles malevolently. Yes. And
points proudly at the baby.
Points. Whereas the innkeeper says, no.
Piss off. We're full up.
Full.
Have you booked?
No,
because if
vacancies.
Not.
Yeah. There's a pavement. With straw on it and some dong. I love a nativity. Rex has got his nativity next week.
Oh,
he's Joseph. I think I might have told you already. But he wants to be Mary. Yeah, last
hang
year
on,
he was
hang
baby
on, hang
Jesus.
On. Last year he was baby Jesus, wasn't he?
Yeah, baby Jesus. Now he's upgraded.
That is a hell of a jump in rank. He's gone from Jesus to Joseph.
to Joseph, but he's gutted that he's not Mary. Because he too has recognised that Mary is the main part. And he clearly wants the main part. He wants to wear her costume because Joseph wears brown and Mary wears blue. So, yes, because I keep going, but Joseph's a great part. But he's being a diva. And I imagine that he will try and steal Mary's limelight.
Hopefully. Or at least her headdress. Well,
yeah. Yeah, last year he was Jesus and it was sensational. And people still stop me in the street and go, is that baby Jesus? And I say, yes, he was.
He's sadly fallen from grace now. He's been demoted to his own father.
He's a mere human father.
Maybe that's why he punched Rufus in the face the other morning, because he thought, I don't want to be identified with you. I was the Messiah, damn it.
And now I want to be the mother. I want to be her. Anyway, I'm looking forward to that.
Years of analysis right there, Harriet.
Yep. I'll come back to this podcast in a few years and see exactly what went wrong.
Ooh, yes. James Everett, the founder and only member of the Pip fan club, says,
James.
Finally, she's back in it. I loved the episodes this week. We got to see a more caring side of her, really looking out for Ben in her Pip-like way. Yes, she wasn't going to do anything and send Rex instead, but it's the thought that counts.
The thought that counts.
Looks like Pip and Stella might finally be happening. Stella's nephew Bobby definitely doesn't exist, and if he is, who wants that costume after Rosie's finished with it?
I could kiss
you, Stella. It's getting very steamy in that cottage. Ben's acting very strange. Move on to something new now. We don't care anymore. Oof. Well, you've got to take that back, James.
Censor that line. Censor it.
And does anyone else think that Vince is buying the land for the pony paddock?
Oh, you do.
Well, no, I didn't. It was somebody else
Claire.
Said it. I can't remember who now it's
Claire.
Gone.
Charlotte. No. Who said it?
Can't remember.
Can't remember either.
They go hurtling by these emails, don't they? Sorry. Now, I've been having quite the correspondence with Daniel Everett.
You have?
I have, because he said, tell you
James
what, why don't you do...
Despite being his brother. Sorry.
Dan emailed me and said, tell you what, why don't you do blah, blah, blah for your pantomime? Why don't you do... And I said, Dan, that is exactly what we are doing for our pantomime. So he had come up with the exact same idea.
Wow.
Yes.
That's
so
weird.
He went, ooh, that's what he said.
Had
he
said, hacked into your emails?
OMG, that is crazy, he said.
Has there been a security breach on Average on the Couch?
Probably. Have we got any security on Average on the Couch? Is it Jeff?
It's Cooper.
It's gone. Anyway.
Wow, that's cool. What are
in between being Psychic Mike.
Oh, just because this is admin, sorry, just between us. But you know you sent the script. You didn't send the script.
Oh. No, I sent it again separately, but I will send it again again separately.
Okay. I'll look it up.
Sorry. Dan said, I'm so glad Mickey's back. I find him and Joy very funny. Brad going on Friday makes me sad, as he's my favourite. I know, we didn't hear him go, did we?
No, but he's coming back on Tuesday, presumably, or something.
Yes, but I was worried
that... No, we didn't hear him go. Yes.
They would find out about the sabotage and then he would be... It would be kind of...
No, but that would have just been... The us as listeners would have boycotted the Archers if that had happened. So I knew that. I knew he was going to be able to go. And then probably it'll all come out after, won't it?
Mm-hmm.
Because they're allowed to fall out now that he's done the maths course.
Yeah, okay, yeah. In fact, I hope that they do, because I want him to see sense and not be carried away by Mia.
Yeah.
Anyway, he said, I thought the Christmas play shenanigans were quite funny, as it is very realistic for a school to make up parts so kids don't feel left out.
Yeah.
That's very true. You end up with pantomimes you end up with nativities with Postman Pat in them and things like that, don't you?
Well, also because you can't get too religious these days.
Mm. And also somebody had the costume.
Well, they should have had a spider costume from last year.
Yeah.
Just saying.
He said, I can, when we made at home this enormous TARDIS for the children, we painted cardboard boxes
you did.
And things. Yeah.
Dan didn't, obviously.
No, I did. I'm talking about moi.
Okay.
Just for a change. Yeah. And and the school said, can we have
TARDIS?
It? Yeah. And the school said, can we have it? Can we have it? And I said, yeah. So I took it up there once mine had finished playing with it. And it appeared on stage in every single play, regardless of what they were doing. It didn't matter whether it was Nativity or,
Romeo and Juliet.
You know, yeah, Romeo and Juliet, Christopher Columbus in America, anything, the TARDIS would be there in the background because we've got it, we're going to use it. Anyway.
Wow. Did you make it out of cardboard?
Yeah. It had a support. I don't know how we did that. It's very unlike us. Anyway, he said, I think Stella and Pip may happen. Can't remember what some of their conversations suggested it. From Dan, in brackets, the best Everett, he puts.
The best. Have you written the Everetts into the pantomime, by the way?
Not yet, no, but okay. I might have to go back and revisit that.
I think you might have to.
They could be like the Greek chorus in the background.
I feel like Dan might be keen. What with his interest in drama, etc.
Yes.
You might like a little part, speaking bit.
All right,
little
I'll see what
intro.
I can do.
Well, he could be the narrator.
Yeah. He has to start with, and it came to pass, though. Otherwise, you don't count as a narrator unless you start everything with, and it came to pass. Oh, worn out now.
Me too, Lisa. I feel so tired. I feel like I haven't had any drugs or alcohol this evening, but I feel like I have. Do you know what I mean?
I feel a bit floppy.
I feel like I'm a bit slow. I can't get the voices. I can't get any sort of joke. I can't understand. I can't remember who said what in which email. My brain's gone,
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
Don't you feel like we're a bit slow tonight?
It's always like that at this time of year, though, isn't it?
It is, isn't it? Well, it's because I feel like there's just too much going on in the day now.
Whenever you're doing anything, you feel like you should be doing something else.
Oh, my God. I just can't even go there. I've got like butterflies about what I haven't done today, what I should have done, which I can do on Sunday. No, it's fine. I'm not Ben. I'm fine.
No.
I'm fine, guys.
And you're not a cardiac surgeon either, so it's probably fine, isn't it?
Exactly. Whatever I'm worrying about, it's definitely not life and death. So I definitely don't need to worry. It's just equal amounts of presence. That Father Christmas is bringing in the sack, etc. Stuff I don't need to worry about. He worries about all that stuff, and I won't need to worry about it till December 23rd. So,
yeah.
No, it's that, isn't it? No, what it is that being. It's like the Christmas. That's the thing. The whole expectation of Christmas is sort of like plonked on you on about November 23rd, when really you're miles away from Christmas and shouldn't even be thinking about it. but suddenly it gets closer and closer every year. And the and it's such a stupid, false sort of preoccupation.
Panic.
Because I don't have to do anything about it until December the 20th.
Yeah.
So I don't.
And it's
going to
happen whether you're
there.
Ready or not, really.
Exactly. So I'm just going to remove that bit of pressure from my shoulders and go, life's good, let's get on with December the 3rd.
I was reading Mappa Nuccia this week, and also I was listening to Diary of a Nobody, and in both of them, with so a fair time difference in between them, they sent out Christmas cards on Christmas Eve, and that was it. And they had the morning off to
how did the
have
postman
a.
Get them to the. They just sent them out to be.
Well, in Tilling, they delivered them by hand.
Yes, of course.
And in London, I think they delivered them by hand, or they had a messengers or something
that. I mean, to be fair, like if you're going to send out a Christmas card now, even if you send it today, it's not going to get there till January the 7th. But so good luck with that, guys. But no, but that's the thing, isn't it? And the Christmas tree goes up on Christmas Eve or the 23rd.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean,
and all this flipping.
I get it.
I blame the Victorians.
It's Albert.
Thing, to be honest, anyway.
It's Albert. No, I totally get it.
And everyone says, it's traditional English. No, it's not. It's German for a start.
It is German. Why do we need a tree? I love it. I love Christmas. I don't mind all the earliness of it because I really enjoy, you know, the kids love it. It's exciting. But it's the sort of pressure of it that I don't, which it's like it puts a niggle into your brain which you don't have to worry about, you know, because it's just a really abstract silly thing,
but you have to be incredibly strong to override it because the whole country goes temporarily mad. That's why Simon used to say to me, because I'd go, right, okay, so I've got the Cardo Water coming on the 22nd and then we'll do another one and he goes, it's Christmas, we're not going into martial law. Because I used to behave as if all the shops were going to shut and, you know, we'd have no milk and, you know.
Well, Lucy, I've done something really controversial. I haven't booked an Ocado Christmas slot. No, I haven't. No, I'm not going to.
I feel a bit sick. I feel a bit... I'm breathing into a paper bag now.
It's going to be £10.
I know.
To book it. I was like, no, I've got a perfectly decent Sainsbury's around the corner.
Yeah. I'll just go round there, look at the empty shelves and have a cry. Then come back and tell the family that they're having lasagna for Christmas dinner.
We could do something really exciting, like a really good sausage and mash.
God, she's got low aspirations, that woman, isn't she?
Like, of all the sort of like meals to choose as well. I mean, God, imagine the disappointment on after what Ben's been through this year. And then he gets sausage. That is the final blow, isn't it? Sausage and mash on Christmas Day. Not on.
I've done onion gravy. Well, it said it's onion gravy on the packet. I don't know.
It's a really good sausage and mash. No. Might as well just scramble some eggs.
Do some pasta. Oh!
Yes.
And now.
Now.
Let's go over to...
Borsetshire Radio. Borsetshire.
In whatever order you choose. Yes.
Radio Borsetshire.
Colin, what day do I have off over Christmas? It has all got a bit confused, as we have all been swapping shifts to help each other, and now I do not know when I am supposed to be in. The gardening lady is covering me, and she do this so I can cover the sprouts. I do not think this is a very good idea after last time. It is Boxing Day, and I scream when there is eating, so that won't be good. Is there a roti, Colin? No. Who is that coming in? Colin, there is somebody coming into my studio. Ah, it is police. Phone my solicitor, Colin. Oh, I haven't got a solicitor. Phone someone who know a solicitor. I have watched Cagney and Lacing and I know all things about this. You have to read me my Miranda rights. I do not know why Miranda is involved. She did not even have show on that moment. But anyway, I still know.
Calm down, Febreze. I am not arresting you.
Is it a setup? Are you being good cop and there will be big scary man who hiding who will rush in and handcuff me?
No, there's no man behind the door.
Oh.
I am just here about a string of parking offences.
Offences? It is only a woo-hoo. Too small to be a fence.
It is quite noticeable, though.
Oh, the sequins?
Yes.
And the lame?
Yes.
And the pom-poms? Oh, yes. I suppose it's quite me. I did ask Radio Borchester for a sponsor car, but they could only find me a Renault Twinkie, sponsored by Farm Artificial Insemination Unit, and it would meant driving about with a big waving rubber glove on top of car. So I said, no, I will personalise woohoo myself. And that has been my falling down.
No. What has been your falling, your downfall, Febreze, is your insistence on parking, well, it's not so much parking as stopping absolutely anywhere you choose, rather than in a car park or even in a parking space. It's been reported as an abandoned vehicle twice.
But there must be space or I would not be able to park and get out. Therefore, it is a parking space. Ha ha! I have triumphed over law.
You very much have not, Febreze, I'm afraid. Citation one is parking in children's playground to facilitate getting to sushi station.
Oh, I remember that one. I did tuck my woohoo under the slide, and it did no harm there. I even let the little ones drive it about when I got back, and they loved it. So that was probably community outreach?
Citation two was sideways across the entrance to the BBC Radio Borchester studios, preventing access to anyone else.
Oh, they could climb over bonnet if they weren't such fussy pots. I was in rush. Declan and I had been to Mongolian Buffet near Carpet Warehouse for lunch, and it suddenly became very urgent that I get inside. Quite quick. So that was medical. Next.
Citation three. By the tills in TK Maxx.
Christmas shopping. Anyone sensible would do the same if they were clever enough to think of it.
This is only three of some 27 other citations, so basically you're going to have points on your licence.
How many?
Well, put it this way, it's going to be more point than licence.
Well, I think this is a transvestite of justice. I am huge important celebrity figure. There will be outcry.
Slightly less of an outcry than when you block the ambulance bay outside the cardiac unit, I should think.
Well, they need exercise. Do them good a little walk to hospital. Get art pumpy again.
I just need to take a few details. Age?
Never.
And your surname? We just have Febreze. Febreze what?
Of Felpersham.
Surname?
I don't have one. I am like Madonna and Nigella and Alan.
Alan?
Titchmarsh. Oh, you are very out of touch with the celebrity circles in which I circle in.
Out of touch or not, Mr. of Felpersham, we would like to see you with your driving licence at Borchester Police Station at 9 a.m. on Monday.
Oh, that is very funny. That is police joking, like on Bill. I like it very much. 9 a.m. on a Monday.
I am not joking.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you. This is me, Febreze of Felpersham, saying goodbye, maybe for last time. Can you crowdfund support for me? If not for legal aid, then at least for a nice pillow while I am in dungeon. I thread count. Thank you.
Radio Borsetshire.
Thank you, Febreze. If you would like to visit patreon.com and look up Ambridge on the Couch, you can support us at any subscription level and come to our Christmas cocktail party on the 21st.
Yeah, so guys, put it in your diary. December 21st at some time of the evening.
8 o'clock.
Oh, 8 o'clock. Perfect. Yes. Have your dinner first.
Yes.
Or after. I mean, it doesn't really matter, does it?
No. Or during, possibly.
Let's all have sausage and mash. That'll be fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you aren't a patron but want to join in with that, what can you do? Go to patreon.com.
Be a patron. Yes.
Join patreon.com, whatever, and then turn
yes.
up.
You don't have to join anything. You just go to patreon.com, look up Ambridge on the Couch, as I just said, and click support us.
I wasn't listening.
No, I know. you can find us on Facebook,
on Twitter,
at onambridge. Febreze is at fabulousfebreze, or you can email us at ambridgeonthecouch@gmail.com.
And you can leave a review wherever you like to.
Yes.
You know, Spotify, Acast, Apple Podcasts, yep. Wherever
Wall,
you...
anything.
Just somewhere, please. Thanks.
Now, Matt Rodriguez Payne was very, very honest in his email to me this week with this week's thing. He said, I have no idea where this idea came from or what relevance it has for what's been happening this week. So, here we are. I will play it now. It's very good, I think. It is action-packed.
Ooh, exciting.
You ready?
Yes, yes. I need a bit
of have to imagine that you're a lady in a slinky evening
yes,
dress.
James Bond-like?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
And you are standing in front of a swirly-whirly pattern.
Have I got gloves on?
Yep.
And a diamond thing around my bracelet. Now, what's it called? Wrist.
Yep.
Yes.
Oh, dear. You do need to go to bed, don't you? Okay. I'm playing it now.
How could he not have done a James Bond one before? That was amazing.
Wasn't it good? Oh, and it fitted really well.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Clearly, it was the Archer's theme tune was based on James Bond, Sean Connery, etc.
It makes me feel that we've been slightly pedestrian in our chat this week. When you have an end like that.
It's funny. I was thinking... Do you think we should re-record this? Because I feel like I'm just...
A bit more exciting. Rather than us whinging about Ocado orders and things.
I feel like my energy's been so low and then you listen... We should have listened to it at the beginning, Lucy.
Yeah, sorry.
That's what we should start doing, is listening to Matt sing at the beginning and then it'll liven us up.
Yes.
Give us that thrilling energy.
Yes.
Let's do another hour now.
I need to put a wash on. Are you joking?
No, me too. I've got done my wash yet. I've got to get those school clothes in, otherwise. Is that Cooper?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. He heard the James Bond film thing.
No, there's a fox in the garden.
Oh, my God. It's going to be a bloodbath tonight. Cooper's silent, and then suddenly he'll do something surprising, like shout at squirrels or
He's
threaten a fox.
Massive diva. He really is.
What's he going to be in his nativity?
The wolf that just comes along and creates
eats the spiders.
Mayhem. Yeah. Pulls Rosie's legs off, runs off with her pool noodles and whatever. Right.
Well,
you need to go to bed, my young lady.
I do, my young one. And you need, Lucy, you need a good bath and a good night's sleep. You take care of yourself, you. I'm sorry you were so moved by this week, but that's a good thing as well.
Well, yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
And what's brilliant is that I can talk about it and they could talk about it and we can all talk about it and no one needs to feel ashamed or hide or pretend it's not happening or run away from it or blame themselves.
No, it's a real thing.
Yep.
Yeah, it's not an imaginary thing.
Yep.
So Well done, you.
For being bonkers. Thanks, Harriet.
Thank God. What was I going to say? Oh, can you send that script again?
Yes.
Thanks. And okay. What else was I going to say? I better go. But oh yeah, let's listen to James Bond at the beginning of next week's podcast.
Okay.
That'd be so good.
Yes.
Okay.
Can you please send us a photo or record or describe to us Rex's appearance as Joseph, please?
I certainly will.
Oh, lovely.
I will do. Yes. Oh yeah. Exciting. Okay.
Okay.
Night.
Bye.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, Lucy. Thanks, Jeff. Thanks, Cooper. Thanks, Matt. Thanks, Everett. Bye. Thanks, Tom. Bye. Have I forgotten?
No one.
Thanks,
James Bond.
Thanks, Rex.
Thanks, James Bond.
Cheers. Bye.
We're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.